Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rose intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, David Deal, as always on Hump Day. It is Wednesday, my friend.
It is Wednesday.
The beard's gone,
the
man.
Beard, what, I know.
What happened?
My daughter's been yelling at me to shave it. I did the for November. I usually do the mustache. She's not a fan of the mustache, so I did the beard. And number one, it started to get itchy, so it started driving me a little crazy, but I was still keeping it. But yeah, my daughter likes me clean shaved, so. Shaved last night. She woke up. She's like, your beard is gone. She was all excited. So, yeah, no more beard.
You look so much younger.
I know. Baby face.
Yeah.
35, going on 22 right now.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
And good job this week.
Appreciate it.
On your broadcast.
Thank you.
It was funny because I was watching you on Sunday with the beard and actually made some comments in the war room. And then now it's gone.
Yeah. All gone. All gone.
Yeah, I'm like, I work with that dude on Wednesday. He's awesome. Anyway, an exciting week here.
Very exciting.
At the Giants facility. Number one, because they beat the Miami Dolphins, as we know, 31-24. What an amazing performance by Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, just ridiculous. So Eli Manning, it was announced today, won NFC Offensive Player of the Week. This is the second time this season.
Rightfully so.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, his completion percentage, his QB rating, he was just – let me ask you this, because you obviously – you've been playing –
I could see it.
You've been playing with Eli, obviously,
for 10 out of my 11 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was this the best performance you've ever seen out of him? Or if not, where does it rank?
Yeah, I mean, figure four incompletions. One was an incomplete. One was a drop and two pass defense. I mean, that's unbelievable. But, you know, watching him earlier in the game, you could just see that was one of the games that he was going to have a big day, because all the things, you know, from, like I said, from playing with him for so long, all the things that I saw him identifying at the line of scrimmage, coverages, blitz pickups, you know, using the time to his advantage with the clock, putting his team in the best and the offense in the best position to make plays. I mean, he was off looking defensive backs and safeties and hitting it the other way. And how about Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, you hear Dan Campbell, the head coach, say at halftime, we are going to do everything that we possibly can to make sure that he doesn't have a big second half. And they tried everything, and they still couldn't stop him. So it was great to see that happen. But also, it may have only been 31 attempts, and it may not have been the yards that you were looking for with not breaking 100, but the way that the Giants were able to run the football was very important. It kept the team balanced, but what it did was it wore down that Miami defense's front seven. I mean, if you looked at those guys at the end of those drives where they were going no huddle and they kept them at the line of scrimmage, all of them huffing and puffing with their hands on their hips, and Ndamukong Suh was essentially a non-factor. I mean, what did he make, 3 or 4 plays a game? And one of the things that really stuck out to me was that the offensive line were fighting. And there may have been plays where they didn't have their technique, but they were fighting and being physical. John Jerry did one of the best things that I've seen in a game. You know, and Ndamukong Suh is a guy that towards the end of the whistle is going to give you that extra push to try to be that intimidating factor.
Some people say he's the dirtiest player in the NFL.
And John Jerry hit him right back and looked him right in the eye, and Suh did nothing. That was the way that game went.
I will say this. I mean, he looked pretty gassed.
Yeah.
At the end of the game.
Yes.
He looked gassed.
And it was the way that the Giants offense directed the tempo of the football game. They dictated it the entire game.
So, I mean, a really great, great victory for the Giants. Giants fans have to be thrilled. We'll open up the phone lines. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in, 201-939-4513. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. That's hashtag Giants Chat. And then a big week ahead. I mean, Carolina,
a little bit more than a big week. I would say this
Carolina
is a huge week.
Panthers, Cammy Cam, yeah, coming to town. I thought, I know that you just got done hosting the press conference, yep, live show on MSG. If you missed it, you could watch it in its entirety on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. I'm sure it'll be posted. But I liked what one of the questions that was posed for Tom Coughlin was, you know, how excited is this team? Are they a little bit more geeked up? Are they a little bit more crumped up? The fact that you've got an undefeated team coming in, and obviously the Giants want to play spoiler.
No question.
Have you ever been in that situation before?
Yeah, we
with the Patriots.
Playing the Patriots.
With the Patriots.
Yeah,
besides the Patriots.
There's something about it that as a competitor and as an athlete, it doesn't matter whether you're a football player or across the board, there's something that is just – That factor of playing up against the champion or playing up against the undefeated, having that, you know, that second fiddle feel, having that, well, you guys can't beat this team, they're undefeated. It brings out the best of who you are as a player, and not to mention the value of this game on what it means not only to the Panthers season, but moreover the Giants season, because of the fact that in order to win the division and take out, they have to win these last three games. And for the Carolina Panthers, I said this on the presser, this is the game that they're scared of in their final stretch, is coming here playing up against the New York Giants, because their last two foes would be at Atlanta, who's in a very long skid right now, and then the game after that would be at home up against Tampa Bay. So if they want to close out the regular season as an undefeated team out of these next 3 weeks, this game is their toughest task in order to get it done.
Right, right. But besides, of course, going up against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, which they went in as an undefeated team, how many other times have you been in this situation where you could be spoiler to somebody?
It happened in college. Yeah, playing in college, we were able to do it. In high school, we were able to do it. And like I said, this is why you play the game, or for Sundays like this, to challenge yourself up against the best in the NFL. And you have to give the Carolina Panthers credit for the way that they're doing it. You know, 2 weeks ago, I watched their entire game because last week I had the Saints. So I watched their entire game. Yeah, they had falters. They had turnovers in the first half. But it didn't derail their game plan, and they still stayed focused. Did it affect this week? Absolutely not. They came out and scored 21 in the first quarter up against Atlanta, and I've had Atlanta this weekend, so I watched that game as well. They completely dominated Atlanta in all facets of the football game. And if you look at the way that their defense played up against Matt Ryan, they sacked him and Renfrey, because at the end, Renfrey came in because the game was completely out of hand. They sacked both of them five times. They had 11 QB hits, and they only allowed Atlanta to rush for a total of 54 yards. And the way that they were able to do that was they would either attack with their front four or add on a blitzer in those third down packages, which allowed their defensive backs, Josh Norman, to play man, and they held up the entire game.
All right, well, let's really break down where the Giants are at right now and what this matchup is going to entail. First and foremost, fingers crossed that Eric Flowers will be able to go. Not sure, he re-injured that ankle again, so we will have an update. Practice, by the way, is a little bit later on today. Practice is usually happening right now while we're hosting the show, but it's not. Practice isn't until 4 o'clock. Locker room won't be open until later on, like 5:30 tonight.
They didn't get in until 5 a.m. Tuesday morning. To go back to Eric Flowers, you've got to give him a lot of credit on his toughness. I mean,
all
he was
season
out there. I mean,
David,
I know,
all season, not
but this
just
is
this game.
One where he, I mean, you could see him hurting the entire time and just fighting and forcing himself to compete. And that's great to see out of a young offensive lineman.
No, it is. It's what, because at this time of the year, everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
Everybody's hurt. Everybody's playing hurt. Everybody's playing in pain. You're getting the cortisone shots. But to see him at this young age, where a lot of, as we talked about this, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that, you know, you hit that rookie wall and then compounded.
You see a lot of them check out.
Exactly. And he's not checking out.
He's not checking out, no.
Devon Kennard in the press conference with Tom Coughlin doesn't
Said
sound
he's
like,
out.
Yeah, yep. He's out. So you know, not good there, because I'm a big fan of Devon Kennard, and you know, in regard to what he can bring to the field, unfortunately he will not be available. Now, on the Carolina side, word out of Carolina is that Greg Olsen will go. He's a sprained knee, but he's expected to play. No, as of right now, Jonathan Stewart, who, by the way, last like eight games leading into this past week, 20 plus carries, really has been a big factor in their offense. He's in a walking boot. And everything that I'm hearing is that if he cannot go, Cameron Artis Payne would be the featured back in that backfield for the Carolina Panthers. And I'm hearing that more than likely he's not going to be able to go. So might be a rookie running back that will be starting against this Giants
defense. Fozzie Whitaker and then Mike Tolbert as the other two.
Yeah, but everything that I'm hearing out of Carolina is that they really they like what they see in this rookie, and they really want to give him a chance to kind of be the man in that backfield if, of course, Jonathan Stewart cannot go. And everything I'm hearing is that it is not likely. And obviously the big matchup that I think is going to be worth the price of admission
is Josh Norman and
Odell Beckham Jr.
Of course. This is what you want. This is what you love to see. One of the things that I think that will help the Giants, which help everybody on the Giants wide receiving core, is moving Odell Beckham Jr. around, having him all over the field, have him lined up in the backfield, motion him out, put him in different positions to try keeping that secondary and the defense for the Carolina Panthers on their heels instead of just lining them up at one position. Okay, they can get their feet set, get lined up, and then start bracketing coverages. You want to make sure that on the road they have to communicate as much as possible to one another by putting him in different spots, trying to check to get one guy to run over to the other side of the field. That's where you can get those miscues, and you can have them have mental mistakes and errors and breakdowns in coverage where you could take advantage of them.
Yeah, one thing that head coach Tom Coughlin addressed in his press conference, one of the questions was, do you expect Josh Norman to have the Odell Beckham assignment?
He said
yes.
Yeah.
But and then coach said, but he's never covered a slot guy.
No.
So now this is the $1 million. This is going to be the $1 million question.
Will he cover him if he's in the slot this week?
Is this going to be Josh Norman and Odell Beckham? Josh is going to follow him wherever he lines up. That's going to be his assignment the entire day. That's going to be interesting.
And if he doesn't follow him in the slot, that would be huge for Odell Beckham Jr. Because if Ben Wickery, who broke his leg, who is out now, who's in and plays that nickel spot now, Cortland Finnegan. Cortland Finnegan's only played in two games. He's only been targeted eight times. And one of the things you know about Cortland Finnegan from his history of being in the NFL, number one, he will get beat on deep balls. And number two, he gets frustrated and he will have personal fouls and penalties. Because if you remember in the past, he was one of the players that said, I want to be the dirtiest player in the NFL. He had tons of fines. He had tons of personal fouls. But once he starts getting beat, it wears on his confidence, and he tries taking it out where that can give you those extra first downs that you need in a game.
But also, we both know this about him. He likes to jabber.
Of course.
He likes to talk trash.
Yes.
He's not the cleanest player.
No.
So Odell really, if it gets down to that where Finnegan is covering him out of the slot, Odell has to really be smart. Finnegan's going to try to push those buttons.
I know, but that brings the best out of Odell Beckham Jr. He is a competitor. He doesn't care who's across from him. And the people who talk trash to him and challenge him, they get beaten. He's running by him looking back.
All right, want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live, brought to you by DraftKings. That's right. You got daily fantasy sports destinations, and this is the best one. DraftKings can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Let's head out to our phone lines. Let's kick it off. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We kick it off with Christian calling in from New York. He wants to talk about the Giants defense. Christian, welcome.
Hey, well, before I get to my comment, I've never talked to you before, Mr. Deal. Just like to thank you for what you did for the team.
Appreciate that, Christian.
I've been thinking about lately the idea of DRC shadowing the best receiver on the offense. And you know, when Prince is healthy, they're almost as good as each other. But it just doesn't seem like they 100% Prince right now. And I don't blame them. But it just seems like with the season really on the line, you should have DRC, you know, trying to shut down the number one threat on the offense pretty much, I mean, at least 80% of the time.
Yeah, you bring up a great question and a great point. You know, obviously that's something that a lot of teams start thinking about down the stretch. But, you know, one of the things that I will say about Steve Spagnuolo's system is he plays guys on sides. I have not seen in his time throughout him moving players into different positions in different spots, you know, challenging wide receivers one-on-one with a corner. But, I mean, the biggest thing that they have to do is they've got to make sure that they put pressure on Cam Newton. They have got to affect him. The defensive ends have got to remain disciplined on their outside pass rushing ability and making sure that they condense the pocket because, you know, one of the things I said during the presser was when you're playing up against a Cam Newton, he forces you to play 11-on-11 football. Not only, like I said, his ability if there's something not open running in the passing game, but we've seen he has 7 rushing touchdowns. And the way that they set those things up is they pound the football in between the tackles. They start doing that. They were doing it with Jonathan Stewart. Their philosophy will not change. They run those zone reads, and then once you start getting those defensive ends on the outside crashing down inside, that's where he'll keep it, and he starts running those boots. I mean, they hit one for 4th-and-1 up against against the Saints 2 weeks ago where he took it for 20 yards and took it in bounds. So it's going to be very important for them to remain disciplined on those gap lanes.
Anything else?
And also, I was going to say, now that the pass rush is picking up a little more, it's getting just a little more consistent, I'd really like to see a little more press coverage because, you know, it's just if you line up far enough back, you're practically giving them certain completions on certain routes. And, you know, now that we're starting to, you know, disrupt the passer, I really think we could use some more press.
But the key to having press and putting your corners on that press spot is that pass rush, the blitz, that they get home and they force the quarterback to get rid of the ball early. So I understand what you're saying, but those two things play hand in hand. If in this game, if the Giants pass rush is able to affect Cam Newton and they start getting production and they get home on their blitzes, that's when you want to spend more time of getting press. But if you're playing press, you're not getting that big hit, that sack on a quarterback. Press doesn't make a difference.
What are your thoughts on JPP? I guess they moved him, right? They moved him from left to right, like started the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were moving him around, putting him in different positions.
Right, he had his the club hand
down. Yep.
So I mean they showed a lot of JPP on Monday Night Football. Him really and we hear about his motor. I mean his motor getting in there and disrupting. Mm-hmm. Granted, yes, he has not logged a sack yet, but he's definitely being disruptive.
He most certainly is being disruptive, and they were moving him around so that he could get pressure down the A gaps, is what you say. The A gaps are the two opposite and center to his left and his right. What that forces a quarterback to do is start falling back. You hope that your defense can play into it, but it doesn't allow him to step up and throw the football accurately. That's where you start seeing that elbow drop ball starting to sail across the middle. So they're doing different things, not only on the outside, but to get him down the middle on stunts, you know, running tackle and twists to make sure that they were getting that pressure on Tannehill right down the center of the pocket.
All right, let's go to line 4. Ryan's calling in from New York. He wants to talk about the running game. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
Welcome how in. Are you?
Doing well. Excited to get a Giants win this weekend. Now, we've seen it time and time again. The Giants, and I understand the importance in establishing a running game, especially early in the game, but it seems that we try to run the ball early on, and we really do fail at it. And I mean, when are the Giants going to realize and accept that they're a pass-first offense? You see it at the end of the second half?
You
see it at the end of the first half?
Yeah, but I will say this. I felt this was the best game that we've seen in a long time from Rashad Jennings. I know that it's kind of been, you know, running back by committee, and I know there's 4 guys going into this game, from what was communicated, that Darko actually got a lot more of the touches at practice.
Yeah.
But I think early on, you saw Rashad Jennings run really hard and run really well, where I have a feeling they said, wow, listen, he might have the hot hand tonight. Let's stick with him. And sure enough, he did. And David, how many times this season have we been able to see this Giants team close out by running the football? And that's what they were able to do against the Dolphins, and it made all the difference.
And it did. And I understand where you're talking and where you're coming from, that they didn't have the success early in the game running the football, but it set up everything for their offense. You know, I talked about earlier on this show about having those long extended drives, how it wore down the Miami defense, and what it made them do. It made that front seven honor the run, because the Giants were going to stick to it regardless of whether they were having the success early or not. And those things started to spring for them, and it opened up things for their offense. So I understand this is a pass first, then run second team, but you have to adjust your game plan and the way that you plan on attacking a certain defense. And it worked out perfectly for the Giants. Eli Manning was accurate. He was able to check things at the line of scrimmage. Odell Beckham Jr. had big catches and was dynamic. The run game wore down their defense. And the biggest thing, the four-minute drill. Four-minute drill is all about an attitude. They know that you're going to run the football. You know you're going to run the football. It's the team that wants it most. And for the Giants offense to do that, close out the game running, and then being able to go victory formation, that's a big confidence builder for this offense and for this team.
And that's how you close out football games, and it's something that we have not been able to see the Giants do that often this season, but they were able to do it against the Miami Dolphins. Let's check out Twitter for a second. Hashtag Giants chat. This is from Jeff. He says, will Cooper Taylor be seen more time at safety after his impressive game last week?
That's going to be the question that we're all going to expect. Obviously, we want to see how Merriweather comes back. I think Craig Dahl made plays, but, you know, you have to give Cooper Taylor a lot of credit, you know, and you realize for a lot of those guys who are out and then come back, they realize that margin for error is very small and those opportunities are very small. So you've got to give Cooper Taylor a lot of credit for the way that he came back and fought and played in this football game.
This is from AJ. He says other players need to step up. Like they did against Miami. The Giants, they need to not miss so many tackles. But here is his question. He said, the Giants defense has not had good success with mobile quarterbacks. Who does the red zone read in the past?
Who does the zone read in the past? That's right, the red zone read. Zone read in the past. No, I mean, that's a key factor, like I was saying, about the way that the Carolina Panthers disrupt you, running the ball in between the tackles, and then sure enough, the next thing you know, Cam Newton keeps it on the outside. In regards to players that need to step up and make plays, Dwayne Harris, special teams-wise, because he had a nice return. He got the 20-yarder that the Giants ended up getting a scoring drive out of it. If he can make some plays and give the Giants field possession offensively in this game, that will help out tremendously. But also, you have to lean on everybody else in this system. Starting with the running game, we've got to make sure and see what happens with the offensive line. If Flowers isn't going to be able to go, then they're going to have to put in Dallas Reynolds and Justin Pugh. Pugh at left tackle, Dallas Reynolds at left guard. And that is going to be a challenge, because Quan Short, who is a defensive tackle for the Carolina Panthers, is having probably one of the best seasons by a defensive tackle. They have Star Latulele. You remember the big defensive tackle who's the run stopper. And they've got two smart veteran pass rushers in Jared Allen and Charles Johnson. So it's going to be very important to establish the run in this one and try to slow down this group, because if you do not, like I said, they were able to attack Atlanta, five sacks on the quarterback, 11 QB hits, and they basically stopped any type of opportunity that Atlanta could have running the football.
Here's a tweet from Ben. Again, hashtag Giants chat. He said, it seems that the team runs better when Pugh is at left tackle instead of Flowers. Does the film show that?
Well, it's hard to say that because Flowers was so banged up in this football game. But I've said from in the training camp time, when Flowers is out and Pugh went in there, he played tough at the left tackle spot. Granted, you don't want to have to reshuffle, but at this time, you can have the full confidence in Justin Pugh. But like I said, the one that we'll have to watch, even though he is a veteran, would be Dallas Reynolds at that left guard spot because of the competition that he has coming in here from this Carolina defense.
All right, let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513, the phone number to get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. David Deal, Anita Marks, and you on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's go to line one. We have Dre calling in from Atlanta.
Hey, Anita. What's going on, Dave? How's everything going?
Excellent. Dre, how are you, my man?
I'm doing all right. A lot better. You know, I was at the game. I'm just trying to get this Dolphins fight song out of my head. Anyway. One of the things
move the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're on the ground. We're always in control. And when we say Miami, we're obviously not talking Super Bowl. So we're the – is that it?
Mighty Dolphins, you know? Yeah, that one.
Yep, I grew up with that.
You hear that every time anytime I hear the Washington Redskins, I think of hail to the Redskins. And you can hear them, the guys just sitting behind the bench, just doing it just to be annoying as loud as they possibly can.
So good thing you're back in Atlanta. What you got for us, Trey?
One thing I noticed about the game is the secondary. I don't know what Tremaine McBride was having issues getting off of blocks. Prince was taking bad angles. That's how Kenny Stills got that pass. It's like he stopped on the play. He may be able to jump up and realize it was too far over his head. I just think that we have to be a little bit more vigilant in reference to how we defend, you know, whether we defend a run or defend a pass. DRC did a pretty good job keeping an eye on his receiver, not getting stuck, you know, looking into the backfield. And I gotta commend Cooper Taylor on that good open field tackle on that slip screen. That came right on time.
Yeah,
that's my biggest thing.
I agree with you, because if you have breakdowns up against this Carolina team, they will tear you apart. I mean, like I said, these past 2 weeks, it's actually been great. It's been it's been a great thing preparing for this, but also for my games for Fox, because I had the Saints last week. I watched that Carolina game. I've got the Falcons this week. So, once again, it was a Carolina game. And the times that they're able to break you down is when they have those miscommunications with bad angles or just flat out not getting the job done. You look at the way that they played up against the Saints. You have Jairus Byrd and Brandon Brown are looking at each other, and you've got Ted Ginn Jr. standing in the end zone dancing. So you can't have those breakdowns up against this
team. Is that
team.
What that was? Yeah. That dancing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because if you have this the breakdowns up against this football team as undefeated, that's where they will kill you. So you're right. The taking the proper angles. How about a turnover? Getting the takeaway in this football game. But I think something has to be done. Like I said,
of the winning equation.
Absolutely. But I think that one of the biggest things for this is to make sure that Dwayne Harris gets some yards on some returns, get some field position.
Thanks for taking my call.
Jay, thank you. Thank you. Hey, this is a tweet from Easy. He says, Anita, you just need to admit it that you're a true Dolphin fan. I was born in Miami. I grew up going to the Orange Bowl where when Dan Marino would throw a touchdown and they'd have Flipper in a tank on the side. And every time Dan Marino would throw a touchdown, Flipper would do like a flip in the tank. So I always told my mom, I want to sit near Flipper.
Yeah. And like you said,
I didn't care sitting on the 50-yard line, like three rows up. I wanted to sit near Flipper. I wanted to see him do flips when Marino threw a touchdown
pass.
Played
my entire career as a New York Giant, but I could sing the whole Hail to the Redskins song because you've heard it so many times playing them. So, no, it has nothing to do with it. I got your back. I know that you're
No, I mean, listen, you know, you grow up in a city, and then I covered the Dolphins for 10 years. I covered the Dolphins. Going to date myself here, but I covered the Dolphins when Don Shula was the head coach.
Growing up in Chicago, I could still sing the whole Super Bowl shuffle.
Right?
Yeah, I had the record. That's how long ago that was.
So anyway, thanks a
what
lot, Easy. Thanks for
Giants
calling me
chat.
Out, Easy. I appreciate it. Carolina, this is from James. He says Carolina is undefeated for a reason. Pretty much his question is, what do the Giants have in their toolbox to win this game?
Well, they have to play sound, fundamental football. They have to have Eli playing at a high level like he did in this game?
But let me say this. I'm not worried about the offense. I just feel like –
Really?
You know, I'm not – like, I just – Eli and Odell – And if Josh Norman, if they do take Josh Norman and they make him this, like, Odell assignment, regardless of wherever Odell goes, that's where Josh Norman goes. You know what? I like what I've seen from Will Ty as of late. I feel like we're seeing him kind of grow and develop in this offense. I believe it or not, listen, I know we rip on Reuben Randall a lot, you know? He stepped up this game. You know, other guys are going to have to step up, and I think that this is – a defense, yes, they play with a lot of physicality. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. Eli Manning's going to be under a lot of pressure.
Yep.
But I think it's going to come down to this Giants defense containing Cam Newton.
And the fan who wrote it earlier about Giants not having success up against a mobile running quarterback couldn't be more correct. I mean, you figure everybody goes back to that game, you know, that one that I threw in the bag that never happened in Philadelphia here where Jackson returned the punt. That whole thing was orchestrated by Michael Vick, his ability to convert and run the football on third downs and score a rushing touchdown. So as much as people want to give that credit to DeSean Jackson, that was all set up by Michael Vick. And it has been a history of the struggle of defending a quarterback like this. But like I said, it's number one, it's going to come down to making sure that you stop the run if Jonathan Stewart's not in there and try making it a long day for that offensive line. But two, it's going to come down to the play of the defensive ends in the run and the pass. In the run, making sure that they remain disciplined and are stout at the point of attack and at the edges to force everything from that are supposed to go outside and force everything inside. And then the same thing comes when it's in the pass rush. Now, his ability to take things outside or gash down the middle are huge, and he's delivering the football accurately. Cam Newton is a quarterback that everybody says, he's just a running quarterback. He's a running quarterback. That has not been the case this year in the way that he's been able to read and diagnose things.
It's not, but also take a look at what he's working with, okay? And this is why I feel that Cam Newton deserves the MVP this season, more so than Tom Brady. And that is, Tedkin Jr. is his number one wide receiver. Tedkin Jr. would be the fourth guy. I don't even think he'd see the field here with the Giants. He'd probably just be a return specialist. I mean, look at Jericho Cotchery.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like what he's working with. Funchess, yes, you know, but he's a rookie, first year in the NFL from Michigan. So, I mean, he's got some talent. But not any talent that's going to blow you away, David.
I understand.
I mean, granted,
that.
Yes, he's got one of the best tight ends in the NFL in Greg Olsen. He's got, you know, a sprained knee. He's expected to play. I know the Giants have had a tough time defending the tight end. So obviously, that's going to, Greg Olsen to the Giants is what Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be to the Carolina Panthers. I get that. But there's just I think there's
nobody on there that really makes you say wow.
No.
But what they have are veteran receivers in Ted Ginn Jr., in Jericho Cotchery, that can find open windows and defenses that if they're told to break a route of 10 yards, they're going to break a route of 10 yards. If they're told to do this, they're going to do that. And that's the way that they're able to function because Cam Newton has confidence in their ability that they're going to be exactly where they need to be on each and every play. So they may have lost some of that athletic edge that they had when they were younger, but they're still just as effective with having knowledge and experience playing the position.
201-939-4513, the phone number. Let's go to Jeff calling in from Rhode Island. He wants to talk about the running game. Jeff, welcome in.
Yeah, good afternoon, Anita and David. How are you guys doing today?
Good afternoon.
Great, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
And I'm just doing okay. And Anita, I think you're far too young to be worrying about dating yourself, okay? don't be too concerned about that.
Okay.
All right. But I wanted to talk about the running game. I've been one of those old school guys that loves the running game. And, you know, if the Giants this year were able to be pounding the ball for, a 4.5 yard average per carry, we'd be doing some marvelous things, I think. But my question is to David. And in regards to the running game, David, it seems like we don't have too many plays that are going off tackle. Most of the runs seem to be, you know, going pretty much straight ahead. And would that be because the tight ends can't block down on anybody? What do you think the reason is for that primarily?
Well, that, number one, has been an issue of setting the edge. Those tight ends blocking at the point of attack outside, making sure that they stay flat and don't get forced in. But also, I think each game's different. I think that the one thing that the Giants wanted to do up against the Miami Dolphins was to make sure that those touches got downhill so that you can physically play up and go up against the Miami Dolphins front. Because, like I stated earlier, you could see that they were all physically exhausted when it came towards the end of the game. Now, when you're facing up against this football team, when you're facing up against the Carolina Panthers, I would hope that they test the edges more and try to get more things outside to get the running backs in space so that they can do different things, especially if you're talking about a Jared Allen, who's not a huge defensive end, who's more known as a pass rusher. The best way to be able to do that is to test the edges and get things to the outside, but it's going to come down to those tight ends and those tackles making sure that they don't get forced and get their shoulders turned so the back can't get outside and is forced to cut back right inside.
All right. In regards to Carolina's offense, I mean, their wide receivers really aren't too much, but the thing that really concerns me is their running game and our lack of, inability to stop really good tight ends, which has been a problem for a long time, although we did do a very good job when we played the Patriots. But, if we can limit Olsen and Stewart, if we can limit them somewhat, I think we might have a pretty good chance. But, it's going to be a tall order.
It is.
Thank you for your phone call.
And the one thing to go back, just so you know, we're not positive about the status of Jonathan Stewart in this game. So he may not even play.
I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play.
Nothing's
either.
Been announced yet. Yeah. My gut's telling me, everything I'm hearing out of Charlotte, North Carolina,
that
is
they're
that he's
be going out of the other.
And I think that they're going to go with this Cameron. He's a rookie. Hold on. I picked him up in fantasy. I should know his name. I picked him up in fantasy this week. Cameron Artis Payne. Because from what I hear, if Jonathan Stewart does not go, this is the guy who's going to get really a majority of the carries. By the way, this just announced. I don't know if this has ever happened in the history of New York City.
Okay.
Eli Manning, as we know, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Ryan Fitzpatrick, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. When has that ever happened?
Not since I've been here.
You have a Giants and Jets quarterback.
Not since I've been here.
What has happened with the world?
I don't know. Yeah, that I can definitely say I've never seen that since I've been a part of the Giants organization.
Anyway, interesting. This is a tweet from We Can Do Dis. Okay. This team tends to rise to the occasion when they have to. Look how hard they played against New England. I have confidence in our boys. And then a thumb.
I like the thumbs
up.
Yeah,
I do too.
No, you couldn't be more right. I mean, the way that they challenged the New England Patriots, the way that they've stepped up, this is a big confidence booster, obviously, to go in Miami. People are going to sit here and point, well, it's a short week. They came back 5 a.m. Tuesday morning. Welcome to the December in the NFL. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is all about teams that are hungrier, that have a better attitude about things and go into games playing with confidence that they're not going to be denied. So this is a game that everybody's excited about, and I guarantee the minute that everybody talks to anybody on this Giants team, you're going to see it right away from them because it brings out the best of you as a competitor.
Again, just a reminder that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And the $1 million fantasy football question this week is, should people play Odell Beckham Jr. on DraftKings?
Yes. I'd play him.
So you're not, and I'm not, I'm just gonna play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go ahead.
Okay, Josh Norman held Julio Jones to less than 30 receiving yards last week.
Okay.
Once the game was out of reach, and Carolina felt like they were gonna win, then Norman went to the sideline, and then Thank goodness, because I actually own Julio Jones in one league. He put up 88 yards, but that's nothing considering that, you know, you draft Julio Jones in like probably the second round of your fantasy draft, but he held him to less than 30 yards.
Doesn't scare me. Okay. I'd still play him.
Okay. That's the $1 million question, and you just answered it.
Like I said, Odell Beckham Jr. loves these challenges. You heard him last year as a rookie when they were talking about Richard Sherman. He's like, I want a piece of him. I want to go right after him, and it's going to be the same this week.
It's going to be so good.
I love it.
I know. I'm so excited for it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. He wants to talk about Shane Vereen. Rob, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And, David, just wanted to echo an earlier caller and thank you for all your great years.
I sincerely appreciate that. Rob, how can we help you, my man?
You know, every week it just feels like it's all on Eli's shoulders, Odell's shoulders. And thank God we have them. I just think Eli, by the way, has such an amazing year, and no one's really talking about it. But, I saw Shane Vereen earlier in the year. He seemed like he could be that guy to take the pressure off of Odell and be another option. And yet he's only, because of the running back by committee and he's a third down back, I was just wondering, why not put him in the slot so he's in every play? Have him be the slot receiver.
Well, Rob, let me interject here. Don't go anywhere. I don't want to hang up. I don't want you to hang up. But I want to throw this because one thing that I was talking to Paul Dottino about this and what I saw differently and why I like Will Tye is that what I'm seeing is that now Will Tye is now has become that dump. That kind of that last
extension of the run or that
or
check
that last
down
that
check
down.
Yeah.
So what's happened now is that instead of Will Tye staying home and helping with pass protect, now Will Tye has become the check down person, and they're using Shane Vereen to come up and help with pass protect because he's so good at it.
That's what they've been doing. And to go along with you, Rob, I understand. I agree with you about the addition of Shane Vereen and how he can do things to open up your offense. But the biggest thing that this offense has lacked to help out Odell Beckham Jr. and his production along the board is a pass-catching tight end. If you look at the history all throughout the years of this system in Green Bay, they've always had a tight end that can catch. And the injuries at tight end position, Danelle, the way that he's been hurt the entire season, Adrian Robinson not becoming that type of tight end that they need. That's been the void at that position until Will Tye has come. Yes, he's still going to make some plays, but you still, if you can get a tight end into this, that would open up things for the outside production.
The past 2 weeks, the Green Bay Packers have been playing a lot better football. One, because McCarthy has now taken over as calling
the
plays, but also they have really put Richard Rodgers into more of an aspect of this offense. He's got
two touchdowns
back-to-back games. He's got 7 total touchdowns on the season when he's utilized in the red zone. So you're absolutely right.
That's how they get all the production out of the wide receivers outside, because it forces secondary and safeties, if there's a crosser or a seam route, to honor that, and that's where you can start hitting them over the top.
I agree. I just wish Shane got more touches, and I wish he played, they tried him at slot. My other question for you, and then I'll just listen, is what kind of year is Landon Collins having? Because, I read someplace where he had the most tackles on defense against Miami, yet he was benched for a significant period of time for Cooper Taylor. So, I mean, how do you evaluate him as a rookie safety? Is he able to play the deep ball, or is he more of a strong safety, which
That's a great question, and I think that's what people have been waiting to have answered. I mean, it's you can't sit here and say that he's had a consistent year because it has been up and down. And that's, one of the things that he's going to have to learn of being a safety in the NFL. It's not like college. Yeah, you can play down, you can get down in the box, you can make tackles, but you're the safety. You're the last line of defense. You can't have breakdowns in coverage, and you can't have people going over the top of you. So I think that's something that is going to be addressed. Do I think that he's played better as of late? Yes, no question. But I think the reason why they did that is they felt more confident in Cooper Taylor's coverage skills than in Landon Collins.
Let me ask you this, because coming in and the Giants drafting Landon Collins, he was known as a box safety.
Yeah.
That's what his specialty is. That's what he thrives at. He is a – You know, he's going to hit you. He's going to hit you in the mouth. Yep. That's what he's good at. He's good at stopping the run. That's what his specialty is. So moving forward, do you think – because you always want to play – you always want to create a scheme, a defense.
To help out that player.
That's going to accentuate what that player does well. So moving forward, do you think now, whether it's through free agency or through the draft, that the Giants will go out and look at a free safety to bring in that will allow Landon Collins to play the position that he's going to thrive in? Because obviously this isn't his best position.
They're going to have to do something to make an adjustment to help him out. But, I mean, the Giants' hands were forced in order to move up and take him, because if there was – they didn't get him, there wasn't anybody really else in the draft, and not re-signing Antrel Roll and then going through free agency and not getting a veteran, this was the move that they had to make. So moving forward, yes, there's going to need to be some help, whether it's at the safety position. After this year, Prince is going to be up. There's going to be a lot of different moves made to help out this defensive front and personnel.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in. Big Blue Kickoff Live. We take it to Maryland. And Lynn joins us. Lynn, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. Okay. Hey, we got a win. But
yeah,
put it behind us. On to the next game. On to the next game.
Wait, so we can't celebrate? We can't celebrate anymore? Like, this is it? Like,
well, it is Wednesday.
Wednesday's it.
So on to the next game.
It is Wednesday.
And you know what?
The line's been drawn.
The bottom line on all this. And you know, it was a terrific performance the other night. But quite frankly, we're going to have to play better.
I agree.
We're going to have to play better. You know, David, you can attest to this better than I can. I've seen seen Carolina a little bit, but they're probably getting more productivity out of every single position on that football team than they got a year ago.
Agreed.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Agreed.
And like you said, it's not a young team.
No.
It's not a young team. But the productivity improvements, I mean, even Josh Norman, look, have a great year, two returns for touchdowns, everybody's raving about him. But, you know, if you went into this season and you looked at the Panthers, Josh Norman was not their best cornerback.
No, he was not.
This year.
No, he was not.
Their best quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so, look, you want to – I don't think it's coaching. You want to praise Rivera? Let's remember, he was one game away from getting fired last year.
Dave Gettleman.
One game away from getting fired. You want to praise Shula? You want to praise McDermott? Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Bottom line is, these guys are playing better right now than they did. They're getting better productivity out of every single position. It's unbelievable. I mean, going into this year, I mean, nobody had them winning that division. I mean, they had Atlanta. Even when Atlanta was 5-0, everybody was saying, oh, Atlanta's going to win the division, even though Carolina was 5-0. Now, look, I'm not knocking Carolina. God bless them. They've won 13 games, and they're playing better. They're just playing really well. But we're going to have to play well. We're going to have to play better than we did last Sunday. You alluded to a couple of guys, David. I want to add to the list. Look, you can't draw blood from a turnip. Let's not pretend we're going to get a spectacular game from Jayron Hosley. There's four or five guys we're just going to have to depend on Sunday. One of them is Eli. I'm cringing saying this. Just a great performance. We need another one, maybe even better than what he had last week.
Agreed.
We're going to need just a super game from Beckham, even better than he had last week. Here's a couple other guys, and you mentioned this name, David, and I'm glad you did. I think there's some potential for us to do some damage on special teams. I think Harris is a guy who – this is where the productivity steps up. I think Vereen is a guy we can get more out of for this game. I think Josh Brown is a guy we can get more out of for this game. I think Prince – oh, God, come on, Prince. Prince is a guy we can get more out of for this game. David, we're going to need 30 points. We're going to need
at
six
least.
Scores to win this game. And it's coming down to a handful of guys who are going to have to carry us. And one of them, God bless him, is the great Eli.
Yep.
I mean, he's just going to have
all
to play
starts
better.
And end with him.
Listen, it's going to be a great game. Talk about an entertaining season. Holy cow. If you're a season ticket holder, it hasn't been any better than this, David. Just spectacular. Great home schedule. Close games. Let's go win this game.
Sometimes
Anita,
a little too close.
Let's go win this game. Heck with that Dolphin song. Let's go win this game on Sunday. Come on, guys. Four or five guys. Let's carry this team. Let's carry this team. All right, let's go, Giants. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Lynn. Do you really feel that way? 30 points? You feel the Giants need to put up 30 points to win this football game?
Yeah, because what that'll mean is, number one, they're putting the ball in the end zone. Number two, they're controlling the time of possession. Three, they're going to get – that is adding a score on special teams or defense. The special teams department is, if you're looking across the board, that is a department that the New York Giants are better than the Carolina Panthers, and they need to take advantage of it on Sunday.
This just came out from Football Outsiders. They said the Carolina Panthers' chances of going 16-0 is 36.6%. Even better, their odds to win the Super Bowl are at 24.5%, including a 9% chance of going 19-0.
Like I said, this is the toughest game for them in order to do that, considering the remaining schedule for them would be at Atlanta, and that at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Also, Ed Werner is reporting that Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton will be out 4 to 6 weeks. And so the first round of the NFL playoffs are in 4 weeks. So not sure if he will be ready for game one. I'm sure Carolina hoping that they do have home field advantage.
It's not a good thing when your quarterback is going to make a tackle.
You know, it's interesting.
It never works out.
I was texting with Hugh Jackson, had him on the NFL Nation show on Sunday night, and trying to get information for the show, I should say. And he said that listen, a lot of people are doubting A.J. McCarron's. He's like, but watch out. He's gonna impress some folks this week against San Francisco. That will be interesting. And keep in mind, Week 17, Cincinnati plays Denver. That game, if Denver wins, I think they're taking on Pittsburgh this week, and Cincinnati beats San Francisco, that Week 17 game is, Week 16 game will more than likely dictate home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the AFC.
And it's funny that you said that, because spending the week in Cincinnati doing the Giants practices and then watching that preseason game, Marvin Lewis talking to him. I've known him for a long period of time. I was asking him about during training camp who are one of the guys that really impressed. Right away, one of the top five guys he said was A.J. McCarron. Obviously, he was talking about Tyler Eifert coming back from the injury, how well Andy Dalton and A.J. Green were connecting. But to hear him say A.J. McCarron in that list with that type of roster, it says a lot about the way that he's prepared and to get ready for this season.
Because he's an Alabama quarterback, nobody's really giving him – I think there's a knock on Alabama quarterbacks in that, you know, a lot of people feel like, well, they have the best offensive line. You know, they've got the best players. Like, how hard really is it for them to win? Because
they've
got such –
Well, name one that's really panned out.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Namath. That's a long time ago.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on in the NFC East and what all the other teams are doing. So the Cowboys are at home this week against the Jets. I do see the Jets winning that football game.
I do as well.
Okay. And then you have Washington at home taking on a Bills team. I had a conversation with Jenny Vrentis, who works for SI under that Monday morning
quarterback.
Right.
Gotcha.
And she was there. She was covering the Bills this past week, and she said it's just now that, you know, they're no longer in contention for the postseason, the locker room was really down, that this is a much more difficult – I believe that she has an article that hit SI today about this. She said that this is going to be a much more difficult process to change the mentality and the philosophy in Buffalo to make it a winning organization and really believe that it's a winning organization and have these guys play together cohesively in that locker room. This is going to be a much more difficult challenge for Rex Ryan and Dennis Thurman.
And so this is Washington winning that football game.
So I guess what I'm saying here is this is a Bills team that I think they've already packed it in.
Yeah.
And this is a Washington team that we know what they're fighting for.
Yeah, they know what they're fighting for. And then having their last home game when they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, this is one where they bounce back and they're going to get a win.
Now, here's where it's really going to get fun, and this is Sunday night. Cardinals at the Philadelphia Eagles. I see the Cardinals, even though the Eagles have been playing good football as of late, man, not going to deny them. They have. But this Cardinals team with Carson Palmer and David Johnson's now stepped up, and I see Cardinals winning.
I see Eagles winning.
Do you really? Why? Yeah. Why?
Prime time game. I see them coming up and stepping up big and staying in the race at the NFC East.
I just don't get Sam Bradford, man. I just don't. Like, you just you push him like this, and then he's just like,
but I don't
like
think
the
this
world,
game,
like, oh, woe is me.
I don't think this game's going to come down to the Philadelphia offense.
With that dude.
The Philadelphia Eagles defense, I think, is what's going to win that game for him.
Yeah?
Yep.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong for the Giants case, too.
I know.
I hope I am.
Wow. So you think Washington and the Eagles both win this week?
Yes.
Interesting. All right. Do we have one more call? Okay. Let's take one
let's
more call
it.
before we send David Deal on his way. We go to Dennis, actually calling in from Miami. Dennis wants to talk about JPP. Dennis, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. I was there Monday night. It was a great game to see Eli, you know, blow out like he did, and to see, you know, Odell with his great performance. I also kept my eye on JPP and saw some improvement, but I also have been hearing some, you know, Mike and Mike, they had Michael Irvin talking about you can't play football with one hand in the NFL. And David, what do you think? I mean, JPP has been, like, super impressive lately.
Okay, before you keep going, number one, you have a former wide receiver talking about defensive line. That does not correlate in any sense of the form. As a former offensive lineman and a guy who played interiorly, yes, does it have its limitations? Yes, with JPP, the ability to wrap up and to use his hand and grab, I understand that. But what he has still been able to do is still have a relentless pass rush where he is causing a quarterback to get off the spot. Yes, it is different than what he did before with the way that he was able to one-arm stab and use it as a bull rush, but he is still able to get the type of pressure that you need on a quarterback.
Do you see him then maybe slimming down that glove a little, that
club,
and maybe giving him a better grasping about it? Or
you know what? I think that's going to come with confidence. And obviously, he's come into this season. This is the first time that he's ever had to use it. So throughout this season, you're going to see the club the rest of the year through. I think the time where you'll see him tinker with it is, whether it's here or someplace else, is during OTAs, during minicamp, where he has an entire offseason under his belt where he can still continue to do rehab and figure out a way to get that confidence back to use that hand.
Well, that's a good – I appreciate the comment. I got one little comment. I'm going to jam, let you guys wrap up. Anita, I hope your mom didn't have to buy a truck because of the weather. It looks like it picked up a little. Hasn't been raining too much lately here. And just hoping that you guys will receive my patch soon enough. It should have been delivered to your offices. And I look forward to seeing the day you can put it up on the wall.
It'll go right up behind us.
I gave it to Schmelk. This is just FYI. This is Schmelk's wall. We're not allowed to touch it. We're not allowed to move
it. We'll
anything.
Get it in. Don't worry.
But
we'll fight for you.
Cool.
But
cool.
I hope you
like the way I presented it. I put that picture there because I think you guys should be put up on that wall as well.
Oh.
That's why I provided it. That little 5x7 will come right out of that DVD case, and I think you guys should go up there. So let Schmelk know that, you know, Anita Mark and David Deal for all your great shows should be
picture.
Up on that wall.
We
well,
got
well.
An old one. I think that's from like
David's
04.
Up here. Oh, look at this. Look at these two youngins.
Hilarious.
Look at Tino.
Appreciate the call and thanks for listening, my man. Have a great day and
always,
happy holidays.
Always, you guys are the best. I really appreciate everything you guys do, and I know all the other fans do. Go G-Men.
Do you notice that I am not on this wall?
We'll get you on.
No, it's okay.
You're due. You're like the Cubs.
It's okay.
You're due.
This is Schmoke's wall. He doesn't want me on it. It's fine. I don't lose any sleep over it. It's all good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's always fun. I always enjoy my Wednesdays with you from noon to one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. You as well. Have
really,
a great one.
Really excited about this week.
How could you not be?
Again, players are going to be practicing later on today. 4 o'clock is practice. Locker room opens up, I want to say, around 5:30, 5:50. Interviews with those players, of course, will be posted on Giants.com a little bit later. If you missed any part of this show, stay tuned. It will be posted again on Giants.com. And I want to say tomorrow is Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. So make sure you come back yet again as we get you ready for a really exciting week of football as the Giants are preparing for the Carolina Panthers, looking to play spoiler to the Panthers this week. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got the field. He's got through. 35, 30.